when you're making music, you should always be recording everything, even though most people don't do it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're a musician, Victor?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you play?
I play guitar. I played violin.
I've known you this long, and I've never seen you play guitar.
I played clarinet in high school.
Yep.
I write music like Phil, you know, on the computer.
Why did you play like clarinet and stuff in high school?
I was in a music-focused high school class. We call it musical concentration. It sounds better in French. But basically, almost every day we had like a music class, and then we would go to contests, like competitions, and then we'd play a song or a piece, multiple pieces in front of like a jury.
Did you find yourself playing in rest homes a lot?
With violin, yes. The olds? Yeah, violin was like, whenever we had like a thing, like my violin teacher would bring all our students together. And it was usually in like old people homes.
It's such a big part of being in those school bands. Where can we find 30 people to kind of basically be like a prop crowd?
Yeah.
Who will like cute kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. By the way, if you're watching, welcome to the Fitty Host podcast, a show covering the challenges of building a new internet and also of high school band and playing violin to old people.
Yeah,
I'm your Fitty host, Paige. With me, back again after taking a couple of weeks off, is Victor.
Hello.
But where were you? Where were you last time, Victor?
We had the server emergencies that weren't that urgent, but it was something that needed to be looked at the moment when it was happening.
Yeah, it was kind of inconvenient timing.
Well, I mean, it was good because you could still do something with Jeremy.
Were you okay with me seeing Jeremy behind your back?
Well, I wasn't behind my back because I knew it was happening.
But, yes, this is good. We've got a real good polyamorous relationship.
I was extremely jealous that...
I heard from Jeremy. He's like, oh, could I set up a cooperative or some sort of an instance and invite people onto it?
I think what you talked about segues a little bit into the stuff I want to talk about today.
And that was a really good segue, Victor. Good job. He can code. He can manage DevOps. He can host a show. He's Victor, multi-talented, also plays multiple instruments, guitar, clarinet, violin. Anything else?
No. I mean, I play bass a little bit.
I feel like, Victor, maybe, as a little side project, we could use a nice little musical lick.
Oh,
on the podcast to break up segments.
Okay,
I look forward to that.
I'll see what I can do. You'd have to send me examples of what kind of bumpers you're expecting, because I don't really, you know, I don't listen to podcasts, so I don't know.
Don't worry, no one's gonna forget that you don't listen to podcasts.
I don't have the document open, so I'm just off the memory. The topic is monetizing the Fediverse, right?
And yes. You have lots of opinions on this.
I think it's easy to say, oh, like, we're just going to use advertisements. But I think there's like a problem with advertisements that like most people don't want to see them. I think it's seen as a necessary evil when I just think it's not necessary for the way the Fediverse is built and structured.
Do you think that you see things, that you have this distaste for advertising because you've set up your life to not see ads as much as the average person?
I don't think I work really hard to not see ads. It's like I just have uBlock and then I don't see ads ever. Like that's it. You install one thing and then you're done.
There's a lot more advertising than just what is on your computer screen, right, in the world.
Yeah.
Like last night I watched the hockey, and every time I watch like a professional sport, which is, you know, like once every 6 months or something like that, I notice an increased ratcheting up of promotional stuff. You know, there's the boards around the field, you know, more recently they switched over to dynamic boards that show advertising that's local to your market mapped onto the camera footage.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Then you notice that they're kind of like interviewing a player brought to you by brand or company.
Yeah.
And then now the screen minimizes and you're looking at a screen where there's ads all around the boards around the hockey arena, and then the screen minimizes and another ad plays below in a kind of banner. And it's just like the screen real estate of the sport is at this point mostly an ad.
Okay, so when you were watching hockey, did you feel like the ads added to your experience? Like,
no, they were really annoying.
And yeah.
You get used to ads, basically. You get used to being like, remember when we used to watch TV? And it was like, you'd be watching a TV show and like 7 minutes of it or just,
yeah,
buy the da-da-da-da, Jason's deals are mufflers, you know, like just like at a high volume above the rest. It's like really annoying.
But it is annoying.
That's what we did.
I think you're conditioned to be like, this is normal. Like the Fediverse is just having your small community of things. Like, why do you need to see advertisements in this conversation that you're having with just people that you're talking to socially? Like, do you need ads in a social context? It doesn't add anything to your social experience. It's just annoying because that's the only way all social media found to monetize their platforms, because they were giving it away for free for like millions of users, and there's like server costs associated with that, and that's the only way they figured out how to make some kind of money. But then that makes it so the people, the users of this platform, become the product. That's not something new. Everybody said that, like, if you don't pay for something, you're the product. You don't want to be the product, and the servers are small enough where they can run on donations or just somebody pocketing it because they really like it's their kind of project. They want to run this community, and that's what they really like to do.
Well, it'd be an interesting exercise to add up the cost of the things you use that are heavily subsidized or covered by advertising. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what would it cost if we all paid our share of Google's server cost to host for hosting?
Yeah.
And YouTube and Mastodon. I think we're starting to get a little bit of an idea that maybe the cost per week of the stuff we use online, maybe it's something like $10 or something like that per week. If you add all of it together, and that the amount of a degradation in terms of our quality of life and the time that we waste having to sit through just dead time, and not only dead time, time that makes us spend money we don't want to spend effectively,
if you do
really high.
It's also like, okay, so let's say you start monetizing your server with advertisement, then you're incentivized to please the advertisers. You have to, because that's the only way your server is living. And then the users start having a degraded experience.
I mean, I think that in the incentives thing, they do need to keep the users watching. That's something that's really interesting to me, like using the sports example. Sports in North America is a monopoly. There is no other place to watch these hockey players. And you have to usually watch the one local team if you're lucky. And so they have viewers captured. And I think that's why sports is so obscene when it comes to advertising. What are you going to do? Watch some other hockey? Pfft, you can't, you know? Whereas with like these other services, it's a balance, you know. If there's competition and your advertising saturates too deeply and starts to annoy people, then they could go elsewhere. However, everyone's raising their advertising kind of in tandem in a way where it's kind of penetrating in and it's kind of hard to go anywhere else, you know, because there aren't that many choices for, say, like video, right? You got Instagram Shorts, TikTok, YouTube.
What's the solution? So people kind of realizing that if they want to have this good experience, then it's not free, and it's actually realistically not that expensive. The biggest Mastodon plan that we have is $40 a month, and that should support around 2,000 users. So if you do the math, I can do right now, like 40 divided.
Victor's doing math.
40 divided
by. You got a physical calculator?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like the best, yeah, 375, the best 375 I've ever spent. Probably not, but it's a good buy. So it's 2 cents. 2 cents per user per month. If you have the 2,000, 2 cents is nothing.
2 cents is nothing, but $40 isn't.
Yeah.
And I would like to see a cultural shift to paying your cup of coffee a week for an ad-free internet. You know what I mean? Like, this is something I've been, like, I really like Co-Social's model. Co-Social is a Canadian social media Fediverse cooperative. As a member, you pay a flat rate. I think it's $50 per year. You get a share in the co-op, and they have a Mastodon instance, and they're looking at other services that they would add. And it's basically this thing: for $50 a year, you're a part of an ad-free internet. But it's still got this administrative thing. You know, you have to go to a different website to get a subscription, and they have to match it up with the account and all that. And it's like, I hope that some tooling gets built to make it so easy to have a social media co-op like that, so that it becomes like the first thing that people think to do.
I mean, that's a good point. Being able to pay your your hosting provider or pay whoever's running your server. It's definitely possible to have services that run entirely on donations. On the top of my head, like Wikipedia, right? Mm-hmm. Wikipedia only runs on donations. Every year, it's kind of annoying to have what's his name?
Sad Jimbo Wales.
Yeah, Sad Jim Wales being like, please give us money. I don't think he does that anymore. But
I think he became too memed.
But see, like Wikipedia is like gigantic. And they don't run advertisements. I'm sure they have other revenue streams than donations, but they don't have to run ads. Imagine if Wikipedia had ads. Like, to me, it makes no sense.
Yeah, but we also know like Wikipedia per month to the average user is just going to be a lot lower than like most of these Fediverse services that are memory intensive. I mean, it's a website and a cache, right? Most of the time when you're browsing.
Yeah, but it's a website that has like millions of users every day on it.
I know, but I think that per user of those millions of users, they pay less than the replacement Fediverse thing, which would be like a PeerTube. Video being streamed for 4 hours a week, say, to a user. Like you just don't, Wikipedia isn't used to transfer that much data for the average user.
The cost per user for Wikipedia is definitely smaller than it would be for a Mastodon instance or PeerTube. Exactly. Even if the difference is like 10x or 100x.
I think it is 100x.
And yeah, but I think 100x of 1 cent or 0.001 cent is not that significant. When you, like, even though it's 100x, it's still just like, it's still just a cent per user.
I just don't think that it's a cent per user. I mean, Google's like annual revenue is $348 billion, right?
And how much of that is from advertisement?
Massive amount of it.
Yeah.
It has expenses and revenue that are in the thousands of times higher than Wikipedia. So it really, like, yes, I think that the cost to get out of advertising is cup of coffee zone, mm-hmm. like per week. You know, it isn't a massive amount. But if only 1 in 100 people are buying the cups of coffee, that's way too much. And I do think that we do need to get to a point where it's very easy to charge people that cup of coffee amount. Maybe there's a free option where it's like, yeah, you're on a shitty server, it's slower. You know, this one's open, or signups are open every whatever, and you struggle to get on it, and it just motivates you to be like, I'd like a better experience, so I'll pay for the cup of coffee price thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking in a Fediverse like social media context, right? That I think advertisements do have their places in certain areas, but in the context of just having your little community and then talking to your friends, or like just doing social media stuff, right? I don't think advertisements bring anything to the table.
I could see a situation where maybe a Mastodon instance, you can see how this could work in a coding sense, right? There's a Mastodon instance which is free, but the instant pushes ads into your feed. And it's like, that's the deal. If you want to see ads, this is the advertising supported instance.
But you know, there are so many instances that are already free, where so you wouldn't need to be on that ad driven instance unless there's like some massive benefits to it.
I think that times are going to change on that if the Fediverse actually takes off, because right now the Fediverse is extremely altruistic at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this to YouTubers: you should put stuff on PeerTube, because people on the Fediverse are really generous and idealistic people. It's crazy, like some tiny fraction of a percent of YouTube viewers will join your Patreon. On like Mastodon, it's like 5% of people.
Yeah,
it's crazy high.
When you told Reese to put his stuff on PeerTube, he was like, the first thing I think he noticed was like, I just put my video there and then I gained like a bunch of people on my Patreon. Yeah,
because the people are really well-meaning on the Fediverse. We're in these, mm-hmm. we're in a stage of its development where the people who are here are like good people who are prepared to do the right thing, even if it's inconvenient or difficult. You know, it's much more easy if you're a person who came from Twitter to stay on Twitter, but they're principled people and they're the sort of people who will pay. Once, you know, the just regular general public shift over, that these are the sorts of things that will kind of crop up.
So to go back a little bit to advertisements and what you talked about with Jeremy, I could see like municipal servers where mm-hmm. you have ads, but they're very localized, like Joe's like lawnmower repair shop, like makes an ad on the Yellowknife server. People mow their lawn in Yellowknife, right?
Yeah, during 1 month of the year when there's grass. Yeah.
So Joe starts a lawnmower repair shop, and then he wants to let everybody know in Yellowknife that, hey, look, you don't have to throw your lawnmower away. If it's broken, just come to my shop and I'll repair it. And I think those kind of ads are valuable. Like I think it's not buy this new shampoo. I think there's value to ads if they're very localized or very specific to a community, but there's still a problem. I think it's the way you sell those ad spots. I think they need to be vetted very carefully.
It's just down to the instance and what they want to do. You know, if you can move your instance, which you can on Mastodon a little bit more, and there's no ads, you know, and there's 1,000 instances, that I think will keep the advertising much more honest and decent. Mm-hmm. What we have right now is oligarchs. They control so much vast, like, tracts of the internet. And, like, fucking hell, man. I've got all these activities that I'm doing at the moment, and it's all in WhatsApp groups. And I'm kind of blown away because, like, basically all my friends are on Signal. I go through the WhatsApp group and I'm grabbing the phone numbers and seeing if I can message anyone on Signal instead. Don't even have a Signal account, you know? It's like, yeah, I just live in a different fucking world. Often when I show up somewhere and I say, you know, I'm on Signal, and they're like, and I use Mastodon, that people are just like, what?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I'm Canadian. And I don't want to use Mark Zuckerberg's stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I never really liked WhatsApp. Found it a little bit weird, you know?
And you kept getting banned for no reason. I mean,
but it was whenever I messaged my famous friends that it would block me.
Why do you want your social media service to be able to be like, oh, no, you're not allowed to be friends with this person. They're too famous. We think you're like... We think you're a bot when he's just your friend.
Especially, I've been messaging backwards and forwards for like literally like 5 fucking years or something like that. It was convenient because it let me say to people like, I can't use WhatsApp anymore. And so there was a like mass switch over to Signal amongst all the people that I regularly talk to. It's very hard. WhatsApp can get really, really crap. And it's hard to break fat monopoly. I mean, I'm really hoping that the Fediverse kind of direct messaging proposal lands on something that honestly could even replace Signal. Because the thing that I really want is a encrypted messaging service that does just let me keep the messages on the server. Because I just, something that's annoying with Signal and WhatsApp is losing your messages.
Yeah.
When the messages aren't, I'm not planning, you know, drug trades and assassinations. I am just kind of like wins the hockey game.
So you're saying we need more standards like email?
In the way that Mastodon and that like particular ActivityPub inbox to me feels like my forever account.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really nice to have a messaging service that felt like the final spot, you know, like my email addresses.
Yeah, completely neutral thing that's just, this is a messaging service. It's not tied to anybody. It just sends messages, yeah, like email.
This is a protocol inbox. Mm-hmm. I can even change the implementation of the protocol.
So email is a free thing that a lot of companies provide, like Microsoft, Google. How do they monetize email? Because obviously you can't inject ads into emails.
Yeah, they have.
What? You get ads on Gmail?
Yeah, you must have an ad blocker. The ad blocker must be removing them.
You get ads on your Gmail?
Yeah, there's banner ads, and it reads your emails and does a kind of sentiment analysis, sort of an ad.
I don't see ads on the internet.
I don't see ads because I have Google Workspace, but when I log into the my Gmail account, my old Gmail account, I'll be like, huh. That's how I know that I'm on it because I need to
go see this.
So it's interesting that we started off talking about monetizing the Fediverse, but instead I think we're talking about paying for the Fediverse, covering the cost of the Fediverse.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of gets at it. In the end, the first step is to make sure that you can keep the lights on.
Because monetization kind of implies that you're profiting when I think most people, they just want to keep their server running. The profit, I think, for most people is in the community and the value they get out of the conversation they have with people.
The monetizing side, like if you're a content creator and you monetize your YouTube channel, you now get paid in YouTube ads. Interestingly enough, at this point in time, the Fediverse per user is really good at monetizing. You know, you get a really high conversion of people to supporting your project and your endeavor. And I kind of get the sense that provided we can get to the point where running a Fediverse server is an easy thing for people to do and that small kind of cost can be covered, I've got full confidence that various groups of people will come along and figure out how to get people who create art and nice things paid significantly more than Google does, because Google does not pay. A lot. My career has been enabled by donations.
So YouTube, like those content monetization mechanisms that exist on like TikTok, YouTube, is mostly you get a share of the advertiser revenue.
But it's whatever share they decide is necessary. And, you know, it's a kind of like, well, what's valuable in the market versus like the video, you know. So it's like, oh, you're doing a video on car loans. People who give out car loans are paying a lot. So you got a low number of views, but they're paying a lot, so this is worthwhile. The thing I like about the Fediverse is that it's naturally more of a Patreon thing, which is how I've made money and how a lot of people I know actually really make money. It's people going like, I'm not trying to buy a car loan, but I really appreciate this explainer of how our government works. That's valuable for our society, so I will give you $20 a month.
But also the content you post on the Fediverse, if we don't think about PeerTube, like your Mastodon posts, it's not content, it's just you talking. It's not something you would normally monetize, and unless you're maybe like a comedian or something who really tries really hard to make really, really funny jokes on Mastodon, and that then that's like your content, then I don't think it's something that you would monetize or want to get paid directly by Mastodon because you're making these really good posts.
Mastodon or Twitter or that like microblogging thing, it's always understood that that is about kind of promoting the thing that actually, come see my show.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch this video.
You're not monetizing the post itself. You're using it as a self-promotion vehicle. So in a sense, you're using it to advertise yourself. But some people on like Twitter or Facebook do like their actual content, and the way they make money is by posting.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big issue. If Mastodon doesn't ever really directly pay.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is basically, I don't think that's what people expect when we talk about monetizing the Fediverse.
I think it's interesting that when you said monetize the Fediverse, monetizing content, you know, is like normally thought of as getting money into the hands of creators
mm-hmm.
for things that they create. However, we've spent most of the time talking about covering the costs of the Fediverse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's somewhat telling. I don't think it's going to be hard to monetize. I think covering costs is going to be the bigger challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Victor, thanks for hanging out. Glad to see you back in the saddle.
Thank you.
And thanks to you, the audience, for watching this very much longer than usual podcast. But I guess in the end, Victor was right. We do have a lot to say on the topic.
Yeah, we have like 15 minutes of me talking about my high school band days.
Yeah. Yeah, hope you enjoyed that, people. All right, see ya.